Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. McIntyre, International Relations, Six Capital, Six Points of View. Two wars, a third threatened, and we go right now to Kyiv, because like Moscow, not much fresh in the news. Oddly, I read the earlier headlines about inadequate resupply from EU artillery shells. There are headlines about an offensive launched by the Russians, human waves, in the north. There's no unusual activity from the Ukrainian forces in the south. There's not even any political news to comment on from Kyiv. So it's as if the capital has gone quiet, or at least is not repeating itself. Professor, Kyiv's point of view, knowing that despite the promises from Joe Biden in his address in the Oval Office and in remarks ever since, Kyiv is now on the back burner for the American government.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And in an odd way, Biden's promises or his exhortations are correct. He states that the Ukraine war is extremely important and that victory there, he didn't say this, but it's indispensable to the West. In other words, if Russia wins, we are really in a very, very dangerous situation. But on the other hand, there is no focus on this. I've been amazed for the whole time in Washington. There doesn't seem to be a situation room. There's no, as I often say, if Ike had been in charge of this, you'd have a room somewhere in the old the old office building. You'd have a room, and there'd be a lot of people about 30 who knew the languages and were sharp, and they'd be working all the time, and they'd be living on pizza and coffee. And they would be following everything. And the president, if it were Eisenhower, he'd turn up probably once every day and say, what's going on? And there would be a sense of activity and commitment and a close connection. But that simply doesn't exist. And without that, no one can count on an alliance. Remember, look at how difficult it was to get the United States, really for the Britain, to corner the United States into backing her in World War II. Had it not been for the Japanese, the Brits might never have had Roosevelt's support. So Mr. Zelensky and the Ukrainians are in this situation where they're being paid to fight by the European countries and by the United States, and they're being supplied with weapons. But we don't have an actual dog on the ground. We don't have a dog in the fight. And the very worrying effect is that the Ukraine war has now become a political football in the United States. There's all kinds of discussion. We shouldn't be there. People in the media who are perhaps not fully knowledgeable about Russian, Ukrainian history, culture, and languages, or the relationship between Western Europe and Eastern Europe and Russia, are talking as if it didn't matter who won. And this is a country, as I pointed out, it's bigger than France, and its location is far more strategic than France. France, after all, has a long Atlantic coast, which is not strategically important. It has a coast with Britain, which is of some importance, and it has a Mediterranean coast, which is relatively limited. Ukraine is right in the middle of Russia, Central Asia, Muslim Central Asia, Poland, Turkey, all of these countries, the Black Sea. It's really at a central place. It's a pivot. It's long been a historical pivot in Central Europe, and it remains that. And therefore, the consequences are very great if things go wrong. And I don't think that the Ukrainians, they really don't have a choice. They're not. I don't think that they will settle for a partial peace, and a partial peace would in any case violate so much international law. One of my refrains is that International law is all we've got. That's all that separates us from a total Hobbesian war of all with all. And we have to try to conserve the international law that we have. Russia, Britain, the United States, we have all committed to the sovereignty and national integrity of Ukraine. We've all signed our signatures on documents to this effect. Now, Russia has already violated that. But if the United States violates it, then our signature is worth nothing, and no one can know what sorts of behavior will be punished, what sorts will be rewarded. Rather, it will be an opportunistic calculation in every war, sort of what would be the best deal. And that will destroy any logic or reason that the international order has. So I think that Ukraine is in a difficult situation. However, it should be observed that on the ground, they continue to make progress. But it is incredibly costly. We're basically in 1916, which was the year of the Somme and the year of Verdun in France. And that's all the snapshots of World War I or 1916, of the Western Front, the tragedy, the idiocy of war, the waste, incredible profligate waste of thousands and thousands of soldiers, the lack of decision, all the rest. So it doesn't surprise me that this far into the war, we have such a situation. In fact, the fact that people are impatient shows that they know nothing about what wars are really like. That said, however, it is essential for the security of Europe and the stability of the international system that Russia not be rewarded for this crazy decision to attempt to take over Ukraine. That must be blotted. That must be penalized. It must be stopped. Otherwise, we enter into an absolutely vicious war without rules, conflict. It's just terrible. But I don't think that this is understood, and therefore the Ukrainians run the risk of ending up like the Czechs or the Poles.
Can we see this? Can we see Ukraine turn into a frozen conflict like the Korean Peninsula? Can we see that? Would that be acceptable?
Well, it certainly wouldn't be acceptable because we have already signed off with all the most solemn kinds of signatures and ribbons and wax and parchment and everything that is used in international law. And of course, in Korea, one of the reasons that the Korean War was so disastrous was that no decisions have been made by either side, even about where about where either side was going to stop. In other words, the state of Korea, the country of Korea, the kingdom in Korea, had the longest history. I think it was 1293 to 1895 that Korea was. That Korea was intact. She was a unified kingdom for a very, very long time. And then the division of Korea is completely unnatural. And the Korean War and the failure to reach a peace in Korea is based not least on the fact that there was no international agreement at the end of World War II about what the future of Korea should be. Whereas Ukraine is rather different. Ukraine had been a Soviet republic. Ukraine had been a member of the United Nations. Ukraine was recognized by the Soviet Union and by the United States and by everybody when the Soviet Union went down in 1991. The Russians had an embassy in Ukraine. The whole business of Ukraine becoming a theater of conflict is very, very, very recent, and it is associated with Putin. And I don't think Putin had it very well thought out. He greatly underestimated how difficult it was going to be. But I would say that there's no way to finesse the conflict. If we fail to achieve our objectives, then we are going to suffer the consequences. There's no way that we can say, as we have, say, with Afghanistan, that it didn't matter that all this happened. Ukraine, a loss in Ukraine would pull one side of the foundation out from under the structure of European peace and security.
Is it your measure that the American public is persuadable that Ukraine is vital as we go into the third winter of war, We know that Europe is dissenting. There are political opportunists in Europe that are vociferous about dissenting. How about the American public? Because we have an election year ahead of us.
Well, the polling is that only 50% of the American people think that our level of support for Ukraine now is right. Now, I think most of the people who don't agree with that feel that it's too much. There are very few people who feel that it's not enough, as far as I can tell. So we may see Ukraine impaled on the uncertainties of American politics in the way that, say, I believe that Vietnam was, although there's not widespread agreement about that. I think the more we study the Vietnamese secret records and everything, and we're just beginning to do that, the more it becomes clear that we were defeated politically in Vietnam, and that the views that rendered the defeat acceptable were incorrect about the future. Likewise, I would say the views that would be used to explain a failure in Ukraine would turn out, say, 10 years later, people would say, how the heck did we ever allow this to happen? I think the Turks, for instance, would be very upset. In Turkey right now, we've seen that Turkey has gone to supporting the Palestinians. This is what Mr. Erdogan is doing. Is very, it's very, very important. Whether it's right or not is another question. But Turkey is a very, very important country. And I don't know, we should really pay attention to this. I don't know whether anyone in Washington, or we're going to come to Washington in a second. I don't know who we have on Turkey.
Professor H.J. McIndar, International Relations, trying to add a seventh capital, but I'm going to keep him disciplined.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to keep him disciplined here. A sixth capital, sixth point of view, two wars, a third threatened, and general chaos when it comes to NATO and the EU. We're going to NATO next. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.